Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pint. Now, Britain is currently obsessed with the case of the TV presenter and actor Philip Schofield. For people who are not familiar with this, who are not from Britain, Philip Schofield is very much considered to be a national treasure, or was considered to be a national treasure, the nation's loveliest person, this lovely, kind, empathetic man who is in your living room or on your TV all the time, trying to help people with their problems on a programme called This Morning, which he has hosted for a very long time. And before that, actually, I mean, when I was a child, I remember in the mid-80s, Philip Schofield first came to my attention because he was the children's TV presenter. And he did the TV programmes from the broom cupboard, and he'd do all the stuff between the programmes and tell you what programme was coming next. And he was with Gordon the Gopher, his sidekick, and then he moved on to Going Live, which was on Saturday mornings, which I always used to watch. He was a big part of my childhood, and he came across as just this lovely, kind, empathetic, wonderful man, and he has done the same subsequently for the nation, as he has moved away from children's broadcasting and into adult broadcasting, and particularly at this thing called This Morning, which is incredibly successful and widely watched by retired people and so forth. Was the father of the nation in terms of TV, this the golden boy, the smiling, lovely, wonderful person. And Britain is in shock because it turns out that's not what he's like at all. And all kinds of stuff has emerged from behind the scenes that actually he's an extremely nasty, unpleasant, manipulative person. And there are serious questions over his ethics. And it turns out that he had been having an affair. When he was in his early 50s with someone who was 18, who he had first met when that boy was 15, and who he had catapulted into work in TV, and then he had dumped him, and it had broken this young boy's heart. And it turns out that basically Philip Schofield is just a horrible person. And I think we are shocked by this, but what I want to look at is in the same way that America was shocked by what emerged about Bill Cosby. But we shouldn't be shocked by this, because this is exactly what you would expect to happen. These are the kinds of people who will be good at being actors and being TV presenters. These are the kinds of people who will become considered to be the national treasures. It is people exactly with this kind of dark triad psychology. But we are shocked by it again and again and again. Britain couldn't believe it. In 2011, when Sir Jimmy Savile died, he was again this knighted. He was considered to be this wonderful person, this charity campaigner, this TV presenter. He was in everybody's lives on TV all the time from the 60s until not long before his death. A national treasure, and it turned out that he was a paedophile and he was a rapist, a serial rapist, and an extremely unpleasant man. Much the same way with Rolf Harris. He was famous in the UK from the 50s onwards, mega famous, national treasure, everybody loved him. Turned out that he was a rapist and a paedophile. And what we have at the very least with Philip Schofield is that he's an extremely nasty person. And we're shocked by it. We're shocked by it because we feel that we've been gulled. We feel that we've been manipulated. We feel that we've been fooled. But it'll happen again and again and again until we understand that this is the nature of people that are successful in the entertainment industry. And this was demonstrated in 2018. Very interesting paper by Adrian Furnham, called The Personality Disorder Profiles of Professional Actors. And what this paper did was it compared 214 professional actors to an American sample, and it found the following. First of all, people that are professional actors, stroke entertainers, are very high in narcissism. What is narcissism? Narcissism, grandiose narcissism, is that you have incredibly strong self-belief. You think that you are special. You think that you are wonderful. You think you should only be around other special people. You are incredibly entitled. You are incredibly pompous. You have this incredibly high self-esteem and sense of self-worth. You basically think you are absolutely great. Now, how does this help you in the world of acting and entertainment? Well, clearly, you are constantly auditioning for roles. There are lots and lots of people auditioning for those roles, and you will constantly get knockbacks, and you need to have this massive sense of self-esteem to be able to cope with that, to be able to cope with constant knockbacks and still believe that you are superb. Secondly, it's an incredibly high-stakes game, being an actor or being an entertainer. It only takes one bad review for it to basically ruin your career. So you have to think of the self-confidence you need to have to be able to put yourself at risk like that, and put yourself at risk like that and succeed. But yet people that go into the entertainment industry, that is exactly what they do. So they and they are constantly, as I say, competing against other people wanting the same thing. Well, this high stakes profession where the payoff can be absolutely enormous and so forth. And also people that are narcissistic, they love being worshipped. They love being looked up to. They love people thinking that they're wonderful. They love and so obviously, if you're narcissistic, then there's a motive there. Acting and entertaining will make people think that you're great and you're brilliant. And so this will feed your narcissism. This will puff you up even further, because you love being worshipped. You love being adored. So you can see how both in terms of motivation and in terms of the ability to cope, narcissistic people are likely to go into and cope better in the incredibly harsh and difficult world of acting and entertainment. Secondly, it was found that people that are good at acting and entertaining are high in borderline personality disorder. Well, what is borderline personality disorder? Borderline personality disorder is, one, that you have a fundamental fear of abandonment, a chronic fear of abandonment, and basically on that level, a kind of low self-esteem. And one way that you will deal with this is via narcissism. So you will deal with your sense, your crippling sense of fear of abandonment, by telling yourself that you are wonderful and you are great and you are better than other people. And therefore you will strive for evidence that you are better than other people in terms of socioeconomic success or whatever it happens to be. That's the first part of it. And the second, this means that you have, consequently, an unclear sense of self. You're so chronically scared of abandonment and so forth that you don't really quite know who you are. You just have this constant sense of fear and of not being worth anything and of just destructiveness, and so you will therefore kind of experiment with different selves. You don't really develop a clear sense of who you are in the world, because there's this swirling fear of abandonment, and so you and just fear of everything going wrong. And so you'll cope with that by finding a sense of certainty in a specific and strong sense of identity. But this will always be uncertain. That always the chronic things will come back, and then the identity will collapse, and then you will develop a new identity. So you have no clear sense of identity. So what you're basically doing all the time is acting. You're constantly taking on different roles, taking on different identities to a very extreme degree, and passing those off in a convincing fashion. So you can see how a person that has borderline personality disorder is, in a sense, a natural actor. Related to this in borderline personality disorder is very strong emotional dysregulation. People that have borderline personality disorder feel extremes of emotion, extreme negative emotion, but also extreme highs when things go right. They have total emotional dysregulation. Now, this is very good if you're an actor, because what you have to do if you're an actor or presenter is you have to be able to present basically a false self. You have to be able to persuade people of the veracity of something that is not true, come across as happy, come across as sad, come across as extremely happy, come across as extremely sad. And people that have borderline personality disorder are simply better able to do this. So you can see how people that would have BPD would be better able to cope in the world of acting and in the world of presenting. The next thing was that they're very high in obsessive compulsive disorder. This is that, well, you are obsessed with order and structure and wanting everything to go a certain way. But it also means that you are a perfectionist. Now, this is very important in acting, because it's so competitive. So you've got to be the best. It's not good enough to just come across as sad or come across as happy. You've got to be a persuasive actor or presenter. You've got to be able to very subtly highlight certain emotions, work out what are the facial expressions that convey that very subtle emotion, or the cadences of the voice, and do so. So obviously, if you're obsessive and you're a perfectionist, you'll be better able to do so. The next is histrionic disorder. This is that basically you love being the centre of attention. attention, and you're very emotionally flamboyant and all this sort of thing. And again, that's going to help you in the world of entertainment and all this, and it's going to act as a motivator. If you love being the centre of attention, you're going to want to do this more. And finally, the other thing that was found to be associated with it was simply antisocial personality disorder, i.e. just psychopathy, that you're a selfish, nasty person that's out for your own interests. And that makes sense. And studies have found this again and again and again, that among the very successful, among the extremely successful, psychopathy is, or at least subclinical psychopathy, is elevated. Because if you have very high intelligence and you add to that subclinical psychopathy, then you're going to be able to cope in an extremely competitive world, and you're going to have the drive, and you're going to have the killer instinct and so forth to displace others and promote yourself over them. And in the extraordinarily competitive world of acting and presenting and TV and whatever, that is exactly what you are going to need, because it's so high stakes, it's so competitive. You have to be the best. You have to ultimately, although you have to be able to come across like you can make alliances and be kind and whatever, you have to come across as kind. You have to have that killer instinct. You'll get to the top by ultimately being ruthless. And this is what's been said about Philip Schofield, that he is, behind the scenes, ruthless, a very nasty person. So we are surprised by this again and again. We allow these people into our living rooms and onto our TVs and into our hearts. And we can't believe it when it is discovered that Sir Jimmy Savile or Rolf Harris or Philip Schofield are actually rather unpleasant people. But that is what predicts being successful in that world. And now people are talking about Holly Willoughby and, oh, isn't she lovely? No. Again, what predicts being successful in that world? The traits that Adrian Furnham has delineated. So basically, anybody who is extremely successful as a major actor or a major TV personality, even though they will come across as this wonderful, wonderful, amazing, kind, empathetic, listening kind of person who is a national treasure, ultimately you should never be surprised that it's all a front. It's all a lie. The national treasures that get into your, that pull your heartstrings when you're a child or whatever, are very likely to be dark triad people. Psychopaths, narcissists, borderline personality disorder, obsessive compulsive, histrionics, dark triad people. And that, unsurprisingly, is the nature of Philip Schofield. And now there's other things about Philip Schofield which cross over with this, which are too interesting to be able to be discussed here. And I will be looking at those on a separate video on my Substack, so please come over there and we'll talk about that there. Tally-ho!
Hello, hello, hello! The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke, joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you could also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise, such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House, and I will see you all soon, and goodbye!